Episode 507, November 2nd, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
What's up, everybody? Robin Joe Show. It's been a whole few months of juggling shows with Purple Power Hour, with you being on 90 Rock, with different schedules. So.
Today I will have been on the air from 2 o'clock today. Actually, not even 2, because I record a little bit with Marianne before. So 1:45 to basically 9 o'clock or whenever we're off today.
You've gotten a lot more gigs because of COVID, but a lot less murder mystery shows, obviously.
Yeah, well, I make a lot. I don't know. It's probably not a wash. We do a lot of murder mysteries.
It's not a wash because we would have had some huge, big number of murder mysteries.
Yes.
That would have blown away.
Yeah. It'd been our best year. Well,
yeah.
Maybe not the military, but.
Well, but it would have been our best year just for regular U.S. shows.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we did our Magoobies this past Friday night, Halloween Whodunit. It was actually a great show. We did this show a bunch last year. And we had different cast members revolving and some new venues. So, but I think this was actually our best performance of it. It helped being at our home club.
No, it was really
everybody.
Good. You know, it just sucks this the way the world is because, you know, you'd like to have more people there.
Right.
There's 100 people in this huge
auditorium. The most we could have.
Yeah. In this huge auditorium, whatever you call it, theater, however you put it. And, I mean, it's just, what do you think is going to happen next week?
I don't know, but I left. I was on a high because, you know, Justin had texted me, dude, we still got it. We killed it.
Yeah, killed it.
And I felt really good. And then I had this sadness because, you know, we do murder mysteries all the time, but we have two that revolve around the holidays. We have a Halloween one. We have the Christmas one. We have a Valentine's Day show, but Valentine's Day doesn't really evoke
it's not
any.
A whole month of
And also, I don't have any feelings about Valentine's Day.
Nobody's favorite holiday is Valentine's Day.
Of course, no guy, for sure. So doing this show, and then it just being over, it was like, you know, last few years, Halloween has been a three-week
Yes, we would have done
thing.
It at Brightbox. We would have done it at the DC Improv. We would have done it at the Virginia Beach Funny Bone.
Yes.
We would have had some other venue didn't even think about. We would have done it there. Yeah, I mean.
Ramshead on
of
in
course,
Annapolis.
Yes.
So Crofton Country. And it was just like, oh, Halloween is over. And then, of course, you know, we had literally Halloween night. You know, we had 6 kids come by. We usually have 100. So. It was like, oh, Halloween, just like that. We had one fun thing, Halloween thing, and now it's November. And now, like you said, it's, you know, we're on the eve of the election. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, I definitely think there's going to be chaos. I don't think that can be avoided regardless. No matter what happens, there's going to be chaos.
Are we going to have chaos because people are upset, or are we going to have chaos because the people that thrive on chaos are just going to use this to be chaotic?
Yes.
Yeah.
To all, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. There's going to be those people that are saying, we won't take any. Of course, it's part of the American judicial, electoral system. Everything will work perfectly, and then people will be pissed. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, it's like, well, no, there was an election, and whoever won, won. And then, you know, then they're going to do whoever loses, hanging chads and mail-ins or whatever they're going to do to cry foul, you know that you can't really avoid it. To me, I cannot believe that there are people as sinister as each side believes that they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people are rigging elections. I don't feel that way. Now, if I'm wrong, then it's worse than I think. But there are people out there that are swearing that the Russians helped collude to make the last president
of
win.
Course.
And there's going to be people that swear that ballots are being thrown away.
Well, there are people that think that in Florida they're hiding dead bodies, the gators are eating them to hide the COVID deaths. I mean, people think a lot of dumb shit.
Yeah, so I tend to believe for the most part, if there's a conspiracy this large, it can't be hidden. I tend to believe that, but...
I don't know. I mean, we don't want to get too serious, but like I feel like, you know, we don't... 65% of our schools aren't open, and all the science says we should 100% be opening schools like they are in every other country.
Yeah.
And it's like that nobody's up in arms about that. It's like it's not – you don't have to dig deep to figure this shit out. So it's like – that's why I don't get. Like how can you be passionate about voting but this is actually happening and you're not passionate about that? It's like why?
Well,
how
no,
can
no.
you be passionate about Trump or Biden but not children going to school?
Well,
it doesn't make sense
passionate.
To me.
They are passionate about it.
But I'm like if this is the – neither candidate has the power to do anything that harmful.
I did hear something funny.
Of keeping kids out of school. They can't – they don't have the power to do anything that harmful. Yet it's happening and no one is like going crazy.
I saw by the way, I'm not voting. I've made that very clear.
Right.
But I did see a commercial for Joe Biden saying, when I'm elected, I will resolve this coronavirus issue day one. I'm like, well, tell us now.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody's going to say, oh, it's resolved. We don't need you anymore. No, just help us fix this.
Yeah.
If you have the answers, tell us.
Or tell another country because they could use it too.
Everybody in the world.
Exactly.
Yes. People
yes.
are dying everywhere,
right.
according to you.
If you don't want to help Americans because of the politics, help France.
Yeah, I'd hope you want to help Americans.
Right.
But don't
yeah.
keep that shit to yourself.
It's so stupid. But hey, we had a great show, and it was. We'll be back December 20th, Merry Murder Mystery at Magoobies, and New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and I know,
and February 13th. That's a new show, Robbie Valentine's.
And
Day.
Robbie did a great job. Any screw up that happened in the sound booth was mine. Yeah, there's one. There's one at the end of one scene where his out is and scene.
Right.
Okay. Where Justin says, "I know who the murderer is," and scene. That's the line.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, "I know who the murderer is." So then I wait, and then I'm like, well, now if I turn the lights out now, it's awkward. Let me give him an opportunity.
Right.
And so I got stuck in this middle ground where I couldn't fix my mistake. So I'm like, well, I'm going to have him find this, because if not, it's going to be all, you know what I mean? And it was awkward as hell anyway, but it was going to be awkward. I couldn't. Does that make
and
sense?
And then it was awkward, and then people forgot about it a second later.
No, it's I'm not.
Yeah.
That's not me being defensive. It's me saying, like, I have a little sympathy, because, you know, Robbie, he is a letter of the law guy.
Yes.
If it's not in the script, you're not getting it, right? But I had an appreciation for that, because here, I'm like, God, there is a pause there.
We thought on stage that the sound, there was an issue.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, we thought maybe the computer. But I don't think the crowd, maybe they noticed that. But there was a couple little things, the timing of walking out. But nobody noticed that.
No, it was invisible.
And it was a lot of fun. We had some people dress up. I don't want to say I felt bad, but there was this... These two black women, I'm pretty sure I've seen them before, because their costumes, what were they dressed as? They were real elaborate.
You talking about the nun?
No, the other two.
The people that are right up front?
Yes.
They just seemed like monsters of some kind.
But they had a real elaborate, I mean, of all the costumes, that appeared to be the one that took the most
time.
And I feel like I've seen them before, but we ended up giving an award to that hot black girl that was the sexy nun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
She also had like a COVID shield on.
Right, but she had the stockings, and Justin was joking about it's a new fetish. I mean, it was a fun show. Shout out to Drew Miller, showed up, brought us all gifts.
Yeah,
you got some cigars.
Yeah.
I got
What'd
some Truly.
Get? Oh yeah,
12-pack. I needed it too. I was
Robbie
out.
Got. Hey, Robbie, talking about getting famous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Robbie's letter to PepsiCo, Sheetz, and Wawa was read on the 98 Rock Morning Show.
Yeah.
It was discussed over the period of two breaks.
Yeah, you got a lot of run.
Last week you told me they talked about it, but they didn't read the letter.
Well, Justin was very quick to point out that we were wrong on that.
Yeah, they read it before, and then that created this break.
Oh.
So I didn't know they read it before. I wish I had heard that. But Yeah, nobody was really on your side, Robbie. But I am surprised that nobody from Pepsi, you know, called and said, hey, we'll make it right. Because at this point, it's getting some legs.
No. Well, I feel like now we should, you know, continue with this. Let's keep this going.
Yeah. Well, you didn't get to the punchline there about Drew.
Yeah, Drew, I guess that came from his dad, Steve Miller.
Yes.
And how many he brought you?
Oh, I thought it was from Drew. He told me he bought
it. Oh, maybe it was from Drew. I'm sorry. I don't want to give – I want to make sure credit – listen, it doesn't matter. Drew paid for his ticket and brought us all gifts.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Even if he's just – he can either have bought the gifts or he can just be the delivery boy. Either way, it's perfect. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, because Steve, his father, didn't come, but Drew gave me 6 of the 20-ounce – Mountain Dew Live Wire.
I don't know.
Strong.
Six seems kind of light.
Well, I was happy.
I got 12 Trulies.
Yeah.
Now, right. Well done, Drew.
No, I'm kidding.
Much appreciate. But it was a great time. Thank you to Andrew Unger for, you know, trying to
save
keep
life
afloat.
Comedy.
And he's, you know, his lineup, he's churning out. He had Louis C.K. He's got Corey Holcomb coming up.
Yeah.
Carlos Mencia.
Brian Regan.
Brian Regan. It's funny. This guy, Vic DiBeto. I was talking with Eric and Tommy. We were at Jam and Java, and Eric, a lot of times you'll have people that go viral. There's some Instagram star or some YouTube star, and they start doing comedy, and they usually suck. So Eric was telling me that he tried to get this gig at Magoobies with this viral guy, and that this guy wanted to see a clip to approve. And I didn't realize who he was talking about, so I was just shitting on the situation, saying, well, you're going to be funnier than this guy. And then Eric tells me it's Vic DiBeto. And I'm like, oh, no. He went viral, but he's also been doing comedy for 30 years, yeah. And he's hilarious. Like, I've worked with him at the Syracuse Funny, but he's a real comic first. He's a real comic for YouTube. And I was like, no, he will bury you on stage. He will have no problem following you.
Did he approve Eric?
I don't know. We should
find gotta him. Be funny if he didn't.
Yes, that would be better if he didn't.
Should we find that out, Robbie? Can you call Eric?
We call Eric. What?
Yeah, give Eric a call. and you want to take a break? We'll try to get him on the other side.
Perfect.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive f***ing show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Newly Dead Game and Sing for Your Life. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, December 20th at Magoobies Joke House in Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
We're calling Eric Woodworth. I believe it's in a couple weeks.
Well, he has to. I mean, by the way, if you're a headliner, are you really going to want to be watching some opener's tape?
Well, I think you don't want to be with some shitty comic.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but I'd rather be with a shitty comic
bored.
Than have to watch a video of another.
It might be his agent doing it.
Yeah, it's true.
I've had to do that with, like, Jim Norton. I mean, I get it. I did that with Michael Rapaport. He didn't pick me.
He didn't?
Well, he picked Paris Sachet. She's black girl funny.
Right.
It probably fits his show better.
Right. Hey, dude.
Hello.
Yo, Eric Woodworth. I was talking, we're on the air, about you trying to get to work with Vic DiBeto, or DiBeto, I forget how you say it, at Magoobies, and you had to be approved. Is there an update on that?
Oh, I am approved. I'm featuring for him on Thursday.
Yeah.
He saw your tape, and he said, I like what this guy does, and now you're on the show?
Well, he probably saw it, and he was just like, oh, I could easily follow this fucking guy. And then he was like, yeah, I'll have him on.
What did you send him? Did you send him Judy, the song Judy?
No, I just sent him the stuff on my on Air Comedy. There's some stand-up. There's the song Judy is up there as well. All that type of stuff.
Can you imagine that you're a headliner? Can you imagine that? No, I'm just kidding. No, can you imagine that you're a headliner and you're watching clips of shitty openers? Not that you're shitty. Relax. But, you know, would you do that? I'd just be like, give me what you give me. I'm not watching this.
You say that, but there are a lot of bad comics that get booked at gigs like this.
I bet you it was. I bet you he doesn't watch any of it, and it's probably the guy who books him.
Yes.
And he's just like, I'm going to make sure he's not. He doesn't have some loser opening up for him.
That's
or
the
something.
Same thing.
That's what I would assume. I bet you he doesn't watch a fucking second of it.
Yeah, that's the same thing Rob suspected. But let me ask you another question: are you aware that the Purple Power Hour theme song is now? We just play it right out of the production. We play Jeremy's. Yes, we play that song. Matter of fact, I was on Kirk and Marianne today filling in for Kirk, and we played it on there, too.
It's been played
yeah!
more times this week than Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses.
It's played more than Monsters by All Time
Well,
Low.
I will say Jeremy loves that he has played on 98 Rack all the time. I mean, it really makes his day every time he hears about it. But I just talked to him yesterday. As you know, we do the Quality Time podcast. And he's sure that it has been removed, and he's sure that you guys have only played it twice. So he has no idea that it's continued to be played, and he's just living in a world where his song isn't being appreciated anymore. So before I get to that, he has doubled down. He says he's doing nothing but recording multiple other Purple Power Hour songs.
Yes.
He's devoted his life to it now.
What a whole album.
Well, then don't tell him we're playing it. I don't want him to stop. Now, one other thing before we let you go.
Oh, no, I think that it's best we leave it that unknown, right?
Correct.
So who knows what he's going to create? I mean, yeah, you could have, like, you know, Jaws 3, but maybe you'll get Terminator 2. Who knows?
Yes, true. Godfather 2.
I can promise you at least one of these new versions is going to have a little bit of echo in it. That's my prediction. No, but what I was going to ask you...
Well, no, because you treated him good, right? So you rewarded his non-echoey thing. But right. I guarantee in the batch that he does, there will be one that will be only echo. That's all it will be. It will just be sound like a tunnel of chord play.
Yeah. Robbie, here's the thing. Like, I might think the irony of that is funny, but there is somebody that's listening right now that isn't going to fucking find that funny at all. And that man's name is Robbie Robinson. And when he hears that, I'm telling you, it'll affect him physically. So I would recommend that Jeremy not send that one, because Robbie will get very angry. Robbie,
nah,
are you with me? Am I right about this?
I'm disagreeing with very angry. That description is overkill.
1 to 10, how angry will you be? It's not going to be a 1.
I'll be annoyed.
Okay.
All right.
1 to 10, annoyed.
Eric, any update on the banjo guitar duet with Gramps?
Yeah, you have a responsibility here.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm sitting in the recording studio, I felt my phone vibrating, I have my cans on right now, I was maybe cooking a little something up to work on with Gramps.
All right, we'll let you go then. That seems very
well
important.
I have one more quick question for you. You sent a picture of a pile of skin.
Oh.
I need to know if that was real or not. And this is I believe it came from Jeremy's home, is that correct?
Please just say no, it's not real.
So I played a little game, yeah. I sent the group a picture. I said, okay, try to guess what this is. And the first message I got was, please don't tell me it's Jeremy. And then I had to inform everyone that it was indeed Jeremy Woodworth. A little bit of him. A small pile of him.
It was...
I didn't know what it was, and I was afraid to ask.
You saw it, Robbie. It was on the text string you're on.
Yeah. It looked like somebody had been doing some woodworking. It was like a pile of sawdust.
It looked like somebody was doing some songwriting.
hey, man, it's hard to record these Purple Power Hour songs.
You want to know the hardest part about when you guys call me on the Robin Joe show? And I'll get back to Jeremy Skin, I promise. But when I talk, I can't hear if you guys are laughing. So I just think every time I get off the phone with you, I'm bombing.
Keep thinking that. I like
back.
That.
So it must be either the worst thing in the world or at least semi-entertaining.
Yeah, you're our new Restivo. We just call you to shit on you.
Yeah, just to make fun of you.
Yeah, like I've never played Chris Restivo. Is this all just a big joke on me?
Well,
I don't
Restivo...
know. But yes, that was indeed Jeremy Woodworth. I believe that is a single, that was like if he funneled all the droppings from his bed, that's what fell into the pile on the side of his bed there. So that was just the residue
droppings.
That caked off of it.
All those words are disgusting. Residue, no. Caked off,
yeah.
Droppings. None of those are
there's
sexy
no
words.
No way to describe it that's palatable, right? Every way
remnants.
To describe a small pile of skin is going to be disgusting.
Yes.
Even a small pile of skin is
right?
bad.
Yeah. All right,
hey,
Eric, get back.
You want to know something I came to the realization of? That if Jeremy was ever, like if me and Jeremy were in a Hansel and Gretel type situation, we could always get out. We'd never get lost. We would just follow the path that he's left for us the entire way. Because there's no critters that are coming behind. We're like, ooh, piece of Jeremy. Ooh, piece
See,
of
now
Jeremy.
You're being ridiculous.
Ooh, piece of Jeremy. It wouldn't happen. I completely survived that sable.
No, you would survive because no one's going to eat Jeremy. That's why you're safe if you're in the Hansel and Gretel situation.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that happens for you so he can be proven right. So, Eric, thank you. You're the best. We'll see you soon.
See you, bro.
Thursday, Magoobies.
Pleasure's all mine. Later, fellas.
So you said something last week about Gramps. We've talked about how, you know, how can he, you know, he's got some, you know, buy something for himself, take a trip.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me the guy loves television.
No, he loves three television shows.
Okay, his television situation is limited, and it shouldn't be. I believe that you, because I think you said Robbie doesn't have internet on one TV or something. I think he should have two TVs. One, just set up Roku Smart TV. Literally, the remote control has Netflix, Amazon on it. Super user friendly.
It's not as easy as you think, but continue.
So he can go from his cable TV, and then if he wants, all he needs is Netflix and Amazon. Plenty enough. There's a million shows. And he can just, so he can just get into these shows that maybe he hasn't watched without having to figure out how to switch from this input to this and that.
Okay.
And so that's not expensive.
I spent about, I don't want to exaggerate, about 10 minutes on the, I'm being conservative, so it's 10 minutes mm-hmm. or more on the phone with my father doing something on his computer. What was it? Take a guess.
Getting him to YouTube?
No. Rob, you want to take a guess?
Checking his email?
You're so close.
Logging into something.
No, that was actually about, I know what you're referring to. That took about an hour. I needed him to forward an email to me.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
To forward an email.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to FaceTime him. I'm doing everything that I can. So what we would have to do.
Why didn't you just call me? I can log right into his computer.
Good question. Oh, I was at home. And I guess I would have had to say, Robbie, log in, have him forward me this.
Yeah. I'm usually pretty prepared to do that.
Unless
it's after 9 o'clock at night.
And I'll know that for the next time. But, so you're right. If we're there and we're there for a few months, we could set up a TV and just have the remote and constantly work with him on the different things that he could do.
Well, I have a Roku TV that the Roku's built into the TV.
Yes.
By the way, that's every TV. But it literally says
on the remote, Netflix.
Yes. Netflix.
There's a button just for
it. I hear what you're saying. But my dad doesn't know how to get to a search. I'm telling you, you're not. Oh, okay.
Let me just say this, because I've had some experience with this. It would be very easy for my dad with his current TV, if it would connect to the internet, which we don't know why it won't.
Yeah.
To do that. You're right, Rob. He could easily get to it, but you know what? He probably won't. He just is not. You know how long it took him to get used to the TiVo?
Yeah.
But once it gets you, like once you watch a show on Netflix, it's already there. It's like, do you want to watch the next one? You don't have to search for it.
How many people do you know that have TiVo?
Very few.
I know two.
Yeah, no one knows.
Robbie Robinson.
Right.
And my dad. And here's the problem. First of all, what my dad should be doing is he should be using the DVR that's, you know what I mean? But he has a separate TiVo, and because Robbie is loyal to TiVo.
Right.
And I need Robbie to assist, but that's not really conducive to what's going on in this world. What my dad should have is whatever's the easiest to do. He shouldn't have separate remotes. He shouldn't have all those things. He should have his cable service, and I should take that cable remote, and it should be able to go to his Comcast. He should be able to hit 838 and go to Netflix. You know what I mean? All that's what all should happen. But it's a little complicated because there's an extra, we can't get the TV hooked up to the internet. And by the way, if I get him a new TV, then there's more a learning curve and all that stuff.
Okay, but we're talking about, you know, hundreds of hours of enjoyment.
Robbie's right about this. It's like he's going to say to himself, is it more difficult to learn this new thing than it is that I want to watch all these new shows? Because my dad's perfectly happy watching Family Feud.
Okay, but it's on once or twice a day.
No. No.
You're wrong, Rob.
My dad can watch Family Feud all day, every day if he wants. He records every Family Feud. Robbie has it set up to where, doesn't it grab his favorites, Robbie? It isn't even, it isn't even a, like a subscription or what do you call it, Robbie, when you...
Season pass.
A season pass.
Right.
It's interests. So it knows he likes Family Feud and it records every Family Feud. My dad's down there. By the way, my dad gets through a Family Feud in about 10 minutes.
Rob, we had the Fire Stick in Ocean City when we were there, staying there during the 4th of July. I set up the Fire Stick for him. Guess what he picked to watch?
Family Feud.
Family Feud. There was a million episodes there.
Well, it's funny you mentioned this. And we mentioned Drew Miller earlier. He had Twitter direct messaged me, potential idea for a murder mystery. Family Feud where Gramps is a participant or the host. I think he was born to play the host of the feud. I mean, it's not the worst idea I've ever heard.
Well, to have him play the host?
Well, no, he can't have a lot of responsibility.
He can't be Justin. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't. Well, here's
maybe if we start doing murder mysteries in old folks' homes.
Well, listen, if he's the guy who gets murdered, he can't fall down either.
No, he can't be murdered. If you're an old folks' home, he has to be the hero. He has to come off like the 45-year-old spry man that he is.
Yeah, you're asking a lot. He's going to have to memorize the lie. I mean,
he can have notes.
So he's up there like Justin reading from a script.
Yes.
I gotcha. Hitting on the women who
yes.
are. All right. Can we get Walker Hayes to
yes,
do the,
we right, can get. There's no Vanna White in Family Feud, but we can figure it out.
All right. Yeah, all right. No, we're not going to do that. Actually, we had an idea for the next murder mystery.
You talking about Justin's idea?
Yeah, Justin's idea. So the next murder mystery.
We have six more.
We're going to do is the soap opera themed one.
Yes.
And then after that, Robbie, how do you feel about a Bond themed murder mystery?
Okay.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I'm intrigued. Is his name going to be James Bond?
Well, I feel like in the 80s one, we just say Ferris Bueller and all those, mm-hmm, so I feel mm-hmm like we should. But he had an idea of, you know, it's instead of No Time to Die, it's Plenty of Time to Die, Secret Agent, Murder Mystery, 0069, Goldfinger, an odd job, or brown finger and part-time job. We have a choreographed dance as opposed to a fight scene as opposed to a dance. I came up with the term boy pussy galore, maybe a little too dirty, but I like the idea of Justin as James Bond.
I like the idea that he wants to do it.
Yes.
Because normally he just does what we tell him to do, but he's...
Yeah.
If he's somebody who's like, hey, this is something that I'm excited about.
No, I think this works.
Can we work Tommy into singing like Skyfall or something?
Oh, God.
Yes. Well, how are we going to learn the words to Skyfall?
Well, karaoke will set up the screen again.
Yes, that's the only thing we can do.
He crushes karaoke.
He is good at
just
karaoke.
Have the screen up there. He'll dominate it.
Good thinking.
All right, let's take a break. Let's finish this up. Rob and Joe. Our Patreon, folks. Let's pump this baby up. Patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. We delve deep. We tell some inside stories, some things that we don't really want out there, but are entertaining, clearly, about our lives. We share. It's a trust tree.
It definitely is a trust tree. We have been let down on one occasion, but for the most part, people really do respect the Patreon.
Yes.
And I will say this. What is it, $5?
Yeah, you can get as little as $5. You pay a little more, you get some free things. Like we had, I believe, Sharon Bailey got tickets to a murder mystery for being an excellent patron.
Yeah, sure. And that costs way more than what the Patreon costs, right? So,
yes.
But the thing is that if you even are on the fence or considering it, give it a shot. See if we're telling the truth about there being things that you can't. Because I think if you sign up, you can go back and listen to all the episodes.
You
right?
get them all.
You can kind of timeline it. Some of the stuff's out now that, you know, like me interviewing for the sports position on 98 Rock.
Yeah, that happened.
And how, that didn't work out. But there's a lot of things that we really pull the curtain back on, and it's real. Things that we definitely can't share. And again, I can't reiterate how much we have to trust our listenership to keep that stuff under wraps.
Tequila.
Rob, you're a little bit low.
Well, I'm upset. I'm sad, Robbie. Oh, you meant my volume.
Yeah, I told that filet of fish story in West Virginia.
During the service?
Yes, that's right. It got up. That's the only thing that was said. Yeah, Mac Perkson gave a floral arrangement. Let me tell you something about that floral arrangement. It looked like it cost about $7,000. Okay?
Yeah. What if we do some Christmas caroling this year with Gramps?
I'm not going to fucking do that.
Why not?
Not Christmas caroling.
God, I think that's a great idea.
To that. No, I'm not doing that. Because, man, those flowers Matt gave, man, they really smell. Yeah, they could have a meal called the Gramps. It's 2 filet of fish, extra tartar sauce, a large fry, no drink. That's the Gramps. As you know, Chris Restivo is so furious, he says he's not going to come on the show anymore.
Throughout the years, I've provided quality entertainment.
The lady walks in with the blood pressure cuff. She looks at my arm and she goes, oh, I got to get a smaller one. She looks at my fucking noodle arm.
Can we talk about how you're going to allow Rob and Josh, our listeners, to win a trip to the Ocean City condo?
Yes, that's right. No, that's not going to happen.
Come on.
So I've never heard of ham salad, but it wasn't ham salad.
What was it?
It was bologna salad.
That's right. If it's a weekend with Gramps, he should pick.
Well, I already know if it's a weekend with Gramps, it's either going to be Walker Hayes or Mac Ferguson. I appreciate everyone's time and consideration to this matter. Sincerely, Robbie. Katie just came in like, are you fucking kidding me? I wonder if Walker Hayes, if we said, hey,
oh God,
would you like a weekend at Ocean City? There's only one catch. My father's going to be there. And then when they said, hey, we're going to go out at night, Gramps isn't going to go.
He's going to watch Family Feud.
He said, the only thing I'm going to require is that you watch this crime show with me and that you guess the Fast Money with me. Once that's done, you can go to Secrets or whatever. So I was wondering if you could write a song that you two can perform together.
A duet.
Yeah, I've been working on this little tune. It's called Ivory and Ivory. And it's I'm pretty excited about it.
Loving Robbie is stressful for fear of telling him that I hate the Eagles.
Here's a picture of what Aunt Mom made for my cousin Jennifer. Now, you see how it's personalized?
Yeah, Mac will hate that.
As a final note, Miggity Mac says in chat, I feel better knowing that Joe is not impacting any government that I live in. You're welcome.
Touche. Brilliantly done, Robbie. You know, that did get me thinking. We've talked about having, you know, back when the world was open, our live Robin Joe show and having, like, Mike Chamberlain do magic and... I think if we did like a Family Feud with Gramps hosting it, that would be a winning idea.
Yeah, for a live Robin Joe show. So we'd have Mike Chamberlain doing magic, Gramps doing the Family Feud.
Gramps and Eric singing a song.
Yeah, and then we could do like, maybe we talk for 5 minutes. We don't even have to do anything.
Yes.
All right, I'm in. Seems like
we get someone from Sheets there to talk to Robbie about Mountain Dew.
Doesn't it seem like whenever things start happening again that it's almost like we're starting over? Doesn't it feel that way?
For every business that's in that in entertainment, yeah, and restaurants, they all feel like they are starting over.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're going to get sad again. No, they're all starting over. I mean, the DC Improv, this is one of the best comedy clubs in the country.
Are they done?
I mean, they're not opening anytime soon. How about that?
Well, what happens to the people that own that space that aren't getting their income? What do they do to a tenant who hasn't paid in 8 months?
Well, I don't know. I have no idea if they haven't paid or not.
I can imagine they didn't. Or I mean, listen, I'm.
I don't know what deal they're working out, but who's going to come in and take that spot? I mean,
no, I got all that right. Somebody has to pay. That's what's so odd. People don't realize. You know, somebody's eventually going to have to pay for this. It doesn't just all happen. We don't just start back up.
Right. I mean, you still have taxes and
there's a giant deficit that has to be overcome.
Who knows? It's but DC appears to just not even be trying to deal with this. They're just I mean, we're 8 months
They're boarding
into
up
this.
Right now. Do you know that for the I've been hearing a lot of the shops have boarded up because and here's what's strange. If you're going to riot,
crazy.
You can pull boards down, right? A board? What good does boarding up something do? You just pull a board down.
I don't know. I feel like the world is falling apart. But hey, we're going to keep doing our comedy and our murder mysteries and our Rob and Joe show.
Now, you know, I sold my home.
You're moving to another country.
So I sold my home and I will be out of it. The month that I'm in right now is the same month that I'll be leaving my home. So
November.
In 4 weeks, I'll be gone, and I'll be living with Gramps.
Congratulations. That's going to provide some great fodder for the Robin Joe Show.
Well, I got to be careful. I'm hard on Gramps, but you know, the most ridiculous things that happen in my life usually involve him and Robbie, right? I mean,
and it's only going to get more ridiculous.
Yeah, because I get to see, you know, every moment. I get to see when I wake up to go to the bathroom at 3 a.m. and he's sitting downstairs in a suit. I get to see those things. You know?
Watching Steve Harvey's suit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm looking forward to spending some time with Gramps for sure. But yeah, we sold our home and, you know, now I'm living for free
right.
with my dad. Maybe I'll save $1 million.
You're going to buy groceries, aren't you?
Of course, I'll do my part as always.
Robbie, you said you had some Seinfeld trivia?
Oh, okay. You want to get into that?
Yeah. Sure.
So, okay.
We're no Josh Spiegel.
There were 22 fictional movies from the television show Seinfeld.
Oh, man.
And I want to know how many you guys think you can name.
Okay. I know there's Death Blow. There's Rochelle.
God.
Well, wait a second.
There's Prognosis Negative.
Okay. I think that's three.
There's Venetian Blinds. Or was that the play that George wrote?
I don't think Venetian Blinds is one of them.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get any of these.
Let me just try to think.
Death Blow was from episode The Little Kicks.
Yeah. I don't know. Tell me. I'm not going to know anymore. Go ahead. And
you
we'll
got
see.
Any, Robbie, that Joe didn't name already?
Those are the ones that I had.
I'm going to do my move the microphone bit.
Why don't you give us part of it and see if we can finish?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It was where Elaine went on a date.
No,
and the
give
guy
us part of the actual title.
Yeah.
It's two words.
Oh. Okay.
He wanted to go see The English Patient.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she wanted to go see what?
What did she want to go see?
It's crazy.
Is there something with fire?
No.
All right.
Oh, there's a movie from the episode The Rye.
What's that called?
Firestorm.
Okay. I knew there was a fire one, yes.
Okay, go. What movie did Elaine want to see?
Sack Lunch.
Oh, yeah, Sack Lunch. I remember Sack Lunch.
We should cast these movies. Who would Sack Lunch stars Adam Sandler, right?
Yeah. Go ahead. What else you got?
Yeah, it was a wacky movie like that that she wanted to see. And do you remember it was sold out?
Of course.
So they ended up going to see The English Patient. Okay, so Rochelle, you mentioned Death Blow.
Death Blow was a Seagal movie back then.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it would have been.
But there was a movie, hold on, what's the movie that, maybe it was Prognosis Negative, that Jerry went to see without Elaine and then he didn't want to see it again because it sucked.
Right.
You don't remember what that one was?
What was that called?
Hold on, I got to search through these to get to that one. Let me go in order now.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll get to that. So, okay, this one, after the English Channel between England and France is destroyed in an explosion, the president's daughter is trapped inside. The tagline is 32 miles of hell.
What's the movie?
The Channel.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I bet you that was some of the most fun writing in the Seinfeld writers' room is these movies.
Just coming up with these movies.
But I bet the most fun they ever had was coming up with Kramer's first name, which ended up being Cosmo.
Yeah.
Because I think about, because we watched that the other day or on YouTube.
You
what were some of the other choices do you think that they bandied about?
I can't really, it's hard for me to.
There's no answer. I mean,
But what I do remember is she was a, what was her type? Because she worked in a bathroom. She was a bathroom attendant, but it was called something else. Remember? She's a, her profession, I'm going to look it up because it wasn't.
Kramer's mom we're talking
about. Yeah, she's a, okay, here we go. Kramer's mom's profession.
I bet you once someone said Cosmo, they knew that they had.
Matron. She was a matron.
Yes.
All right, what else you got?
The Flaming Globes of Sigmund. That was from the episode The Heart Attack.
Yeah, remember he wrote that down on a piece of paper. He woke up, he thought he wrote a great joke, but he just wrote that line because it was on the TV when he was asleep, right? Isn't that what that was?
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yes, you're right.
Good job, Joe.
Keep going.
From the episode The Calzone, Nikki the Blonde and Jerry went to see Means to an End.
I do remember that, too, yeah.
Of course, Prognosis Negative, you already mentioned. Okay, here's one. It's from the episode The Puerto Rican Day. I don't know the context of this, but the movie was called Blimp, the Hindenburg Story.
I vaguely remember that. That's the episode. It's in the last season where they go to the Pride Parade or the Puerto Rican Day Parade, and Kramer accidentally catches the flag on fire. Is that, am I right about that? Isn't that what that
I
was?
I think you got it. I
yeah,
think
yeah.
That's, okay. Then there was, this was actually the title of the episode was called The Movie, and the movie was Checkmate.
Yeah, I do remember Checkmate. Name. You know what? Wasn't that where his penis was playing chess with his brain?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
These are all movies that Michael Scott would write, screenplays.
Threat Level Midnight.
Yes. Clean up an aisle five.
Okay, you're going to remember this one. Ponce de Leon.
Oh, yeah, yes. I do remember Ponce de Leon, yeah.
And from the episode, The Pool Guy, Agent Zero.
Yes.
And then Mountain High.
I don't remember that one.
An R-rated film starring Kevin Bacon and Susan Sarandon. Kramer reads its tagline from the newspaper. There's no higher place than Mountain High. Cupid's Rifle, also from The Pool Guy. Chow Fun. These were all from the episode The Pool Guy. Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah, that's when he was doing Movie Phone.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Movie Phone, correct.
Because
yes.
He had to say all the, well, don't you tell me what movie you want to see.
George calls him, yeah.
This is a straight-to-video release where a woman slips into a coma and eventually wakes up. The Other Side of Darkness.
Is that where Elaine was in love with the guy who had his picks up at the
yes.
Blockbuster?
Good job.
Yes.
All right.
From the episode The Little Kicks, Cry, Cry Again.
Yeah, I remember Cry, Cry Again.
Also from the Calzone, Blame It on the Rain.
I don't remember.
Have they
that.
Done any of these? Because, you know, 98 Rock on JSS, they do the Josh Spiegel Seinfeld trivia, and he dominates.
He is good. But when I hear those, I never hear anything that I think is as difficult as what Robbie's
these
doing.
Are yes. Harder.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, the next three you've already named. From the Bizarro Jerry, Cold Fusion. Jerry mentions plans to see this film with Kramer, who is unable to go because of a long day, quote, working at Brandt and Leland.
Remember in that episode where there's the Bizarro Jerry?
Uh-huh.
What's the name of the Kramer, Bizarro Kramer? His name is like, ugh.
I feel like there was a Kevin.
Hold on, Bizarro Kramer. All right, his name was.
Was another K?
I think it was Feldman, but I'm
Feld-
getting, yes,
oh,
it
yeah,
was Feldman.
Feldman.
Feldman was his name.
Who was the Bizarro Jerry?
Kevin, Gene, and Feldman.
Okay.
And it's,
it
yeah, that's Bizarro.
All right. Susan makes George go to see this film instead of Firestorm.
I'm not going to guess.
Some romantic comedy.
The Muted Heart.
Oh, The Muted Heart.
And the last one is a 192-minute film whose plot is simply an old woman experiences pain and yearning.
What's that?
It's called The Pain and the Yearning.
Oh, that's hilarious. Not as good at this as I thought I would be.
Pain and Yearning, the first week of November as we have our election. That's
the title of the episode now, our episode.
All right, guys, thank you. We'll be back. Is it regular next week? Do we even know anymore? I can't keep up.
Well, I'm currently not on the schedule.
All right.
We obviously have the Purple Power Hour.
Of course.
So we can do it before.
Well, we're going to try to keep to the 5:30 schedule if we can.
You mean 6?
Well, we can do 6.
To 6:30.
6 p.m. is fine, but we start our pre-show at 5:30.
I gotcha.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. See ya.
Later. Good job, Robbie. Good show Friday night.
Yeah, I was real happy with the result.
It was funny.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.